On the phone, I have Andrew Montague, Councillor Andrew Montague, to give him his full title, from the Labour Party. And we are going to chat about some of the proposed developments marked out and put down for Finglas in the not-too-distant future. Andrew, first of all, good morning and welcome to Northside Today.
How are you, Donny?
I am well. Andrew, Scribblestown. For those people who don't know it or aren't familiar with the geography of it, the site, I think, is everybody or most people would know Kappa Hospital. As you're heading from Kappa Hospital to Cabra, it would probably be the last bit of green area on your right-hand side before you actually cross the Talca into Cabra, am I right?
Along the Talca Valley Park there, it's just a piece of green land facing onto the Talca Valley Park along the and next to the Rat Oath Road.
And what exactly is proposed there, Andrew? And in fact, I'll ask you two questions so that I can broaden it out for you to maybe fill in the gaps for people. What's proposed and what is in the immediate hinterland of the proposed site?
There's a proposal to build social housing there, build 69 units of social housing on that site. And it's adjacent to other, housing developments over the years, and there is a lot of social housing in the area already. So there's some consternation among the local residents that there isn't the right balance, that there isn't a mix of different types of tenure. There should be more private and public side by side rather than more concentration of social housing in an area that already has a lot of social housing.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this, Andrew, and I am seeing 69 units for Scribblestown, 80 units for Dunsockley, 240 for Heathfield, which is basically opposite, right opposite Kappa Hospital, and 100 to 200 units for Kildonan Road. Now, Kildonan Road would be up, I presume, at the back of St. Lawrence's, the old detention centre in Finglas. And I also see that the Church of the Annunciation is being demolished and that there is housing going to go in where the church currently stands on the ground at the junction of Cadisford Road and Kappa Road.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a lot of proposals for the area. And, you know, we need more housing in Dublin. We need to get as much as possible because actually, one of the benefits of building housing is that it supports shops in the area. If there's more people living in the area, it's easier for shops to survive and thrive and other community facilities. So I'm all in favour of getting more people living in the area, but I'd like to see a better social mix. And certainly the Kildonan site, that would be well mixed. And I think it would be good if we could do the same with the Scribblestown site.
Yeah, what's the proposal for Scribblestown again, Andrew, just so that we can be clear on this?
Yeah, there'll be 69 units and it would be all social housing and there would be five stories of it. So I would be, you know, trying to get more of a mix on that site.
Hold it, Andrew. Five stories?
Up to five stories, yeah.
But there is no five-story building close to that, unless my memory is wrong. It's all three-bedroom semi-detached around that area, isn't it?
There would be a lot in that area. So the proposal would be that it would be a kind of a gradual slope up. So there might be three stories next to the two stories and then four stories next to the three stories and then five stories. So the tallest buildings would be facing, overlooking the park and furthest away from the existing houses.
Yeah, looking into the other ones that's over, we said the Cabra side there, if you know what I mean.
It'll be a long way from the Cabra side. They'd be overlooking the park, and so the park will always be a park, so they won't be overlooking any houses.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but that you're the old River Road, if you know what I mean. On the other side of that, the left-hand side of that, as you go up, is two- and three-storey apartments, as far as I can remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And, Andrew, you are the residents have written to, as he was at the time, Simon Coveney, and they got a letter back. The site at Scribblestown was identified and proposed for inclusion in the social housing PPP programme by the Dublin Social Housing Delivery Task Force. But I think it's yours and the residents' contention that there is an over development of social housing, and that there isn't proper integration involved in this particular proposal. Is that the kernel of the problem, Andrew?
That, I think, is, you've hit it in a nutshell there. Yeah, there's, you know, what would be good, we need social housing. There's a very long list of people on social housing waiting to be housed, but we need to have communities that work. And we've learned from the past that when you have just social housing in an area, if it's a large area of social housing, that there tends to be lower income in those areas. So shops close down or don't thrive and they leave the area to facilities, and things like banks or other commercial facilities don't work in an area that's all social housing. Even things as simple as trying to get GPs into an area where it's predominantly social housing can be quite challenging. There's far more GPs in areas where there's higher incomes. So what we've learned over the years is that we should have mixed communities and not segregating communities into social housing in one area and private housing in another area, that there should be a good mix. So often problems happen when you're in a crisis and people say, well, we need the social housing straight away, so let's just do large amounts of social housing in one go. I think that's the wrong approach to take. We should be learning from the past and we should be mixing the communities. So in an area that's already got a lot of social housing, to have another 69 units of only social housing, for me, is a problem, and it's a big problem for the local residents too.
Andrew, I'm looking at a statistic which jumps out at me, it's coming from the reply by Niamh Redmond, who is the private secretary to the Minister for Housing, no less. And they're stating in this that the current percentage of social housing in the Scribblestown area, based on data from Dublin City Council, is 15%. I imagine, Andrew, that you would strongly argue with that statistic.
Well, it depends on where you start measuring from. And they're including lands that would be much further out, that would be further away. If you start from Scribblestown and move back towards Finglas, it's a much higher level of social housing. But if you start on this site and move over towards Cabra, then you have a much more mixed site. But that's actually the mixed social units are quite a bit away. They're not right on top of this site, whereas the housing that's beside this site is much more higher levels of social housing than that statistic would imply. So it depends where you draw your circle, and they're drawing their circle into Cabra rather than drawing their circle into Finglas. But this would be a hinterland of Finglas. This would be part of the Finglas community and not the Cabra community. So I don't think that's a fair assessment.
And Andrew, we have seen time out a number and too many occasions to go into them in detail here, where we had developments such as this constructed all over our cities in this country. I won't even specify Dublin, cities all over this country. And time out of number, social experts have complained and social local representatives that there was no infrastructure put in. The housing was put there with the infrastructure to follow later on, like you were saying, shops, doctors, schools, the basic requirements, and they never happened. Can there be anything done to ensure that the facilities are put in? I mean, that area down there, to my knowledge, they were for years looking for a playground in that area, and it's only recently appeared there.
Yeah. There are structures that the council has control over and that they can make sure go in, like playgrounds, community facilities. But the council have no say on where shops survive and where shops thrive. We can put in units and dedicate them for shops, but you know they might lie empty for years and become derelict and run down. So unless there's sufficient income in an area, unless there's enough disposable income for people to spend, you can build the shops, but shopkeepers won't survive and they won't invest in an area where there's not enough income. So that's why you need a mix of incomes. The council can put in other kinds of facilities, and yes, they should, and we have learned our lessons, and I think we're good at that. But we can't force shops to be open if they can't make any money.
Yeah, and I mean, there are several instances of that, as I say, all over the city. And again, I suppose, Andrew, it comes back to the kernel of your point that from a purely business point of view, any business would be much more sustainable if you had a proper mix of social and affordable housing.
Exactly. And that's what I think we should have on this site.
And Andrew, finally, and that I have you, and you know, you, I would reckon that you are fairly, fairly much an expert in this. And I just want to ask this question in the hope that you can answer it for me. How come in the, we'll say, 30s, 40s and 50s, and indeed the 60s, when this country was on its knees and a lot poorer than it is now, that we still had a government that were able to build, or governments that were able to build huge amounts of social housing? And now, when we're supposed to be the poster boy of Europe and we're the fastest growing economy in the EU, we don't seem to be able to do it.
One of the big reason is that we abolished rates in 1977, and it was the rates that paid for all those social housing, and we never replaced those rates. The government promised that it would come from central government funding, but of course they always found better things to spend the money on. It used to be, right up until 1977, there was a dedicated stream of funding that went to social housing, and then that was abolished and it's never been replaced. We did bring in the property tax a couple of years ago, but it's a very low level of tax compared to the rates that were there before. And a lot of councils are voting to reduce that property tax. Personally, I didn't vote to reduce the tax. I would like to have seen that money used to build social housing. But that's where the money used to come from. And so it has to be money that's going to be ring-fenced for social housing. And we need a similar fund, a ring-fenced fund that can't be tapped into by the government for other needs.
Yeah, and I mean, as you know, Andrew, better than anybody, there is more reports have been commissioned on this, and more government agencies have sat and given their opinion on this than we've had hot dinners. And yet, to put a brick on top of a brick seems to be an impossibility. Even though there are, I think, 48 new units opening in Ballymun either this week or next week.
Yeah, we need to get more units, and that's a terrific scheme. That's community built housing. It's a cooperative housing model that works very, very well, and I'd like to see a lot more of that. That's a model that works very, very well.
And so say all of us. Councillor Andrew Montague, Labour Party, thank you so much for joining us on Northside today. Andrew, we will keep an eye on it and we will see how this develops.
Thanks for having me on, Donny.
Bye now. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye.